as we continue this spring through Psalm 119, I want to invite you this morning to turn to Psalm 119. Today we're going to be reading verses 89 through 96. If you don't have a Bible, I want to encourage you to use one of the Bibles that's in the seat in front of you. And the page number is found on page 438, which is also noted in your bulletin. So again, we're kind of continuing to walk through, and Psalm 119 is divided up by the Hebrew alphabet, section by section. So again, today, we're going to be reading verses 89 through 96. So follow along as I read. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. Church, this is the word of God. One of the challenges we all face is the incongruence between what we say we believe, right, the ideas we affirm, the propositions we give intellectual assent to, what we say we believe versus what we actually believe revealed in what we do, what we say, what we feel, our instincts, that there is often an incongruence between what we say we believe and the way we actually live, the decisions that we make and all those types of things. And you see it in your life. I mean, how many of us, how many of you believe that eating healthy food is important to a good diet and weight loss? We all intellectually believe that, but what we actually eat, right, reveals what we actually believe. Or to bring it more personal, if you're married, you hopefully believe that your spouse should be treated with dignity, should be spoken to with respect, but how you actually treat your spouse is what you actually believe. Or we bring it into the realm of faith, right? What we believe about God, what we believe about His Word, what we believe intellectually, if you will, about faith, but what does that look like in our lives? The decisions that we make, the priorities we give, etc. That's what we actually believe. So there can oftentimes be this incongruence between what we say we believe and what we actually believe in terms of how we live. And that can come from lots of different reasons why, can it? I mean, as Christians, we believe that we've inherited this sin nature, that when the Bible calls us sinners, it's not because we just do bad things or sinful things. It's because of our nature leads us to a way of life and decisions that ultimately lead us away from God. So our sin nature can be the reason for this incongruence. It might be areas of our physiology, our chemical makeup that cause these things to be challenging for us. It might be the way that we were raised, the family that we grew up in that shapes how we live and the decisions that we make and the responses that we have. There can be lots of reasons for this incongruence between what we say we believe and how we actually live. Today, our focus is not going to be on diagnosing why there is this incongruence. But what I want to do instead this morning is in a few minutes, a little bit later here in the message, is I'm going to give you a question shaped and formed from these verses that we're about to look at, that I'm going to give you a question that I hope will function in a kind of background way to your life, forming and shaping your life, but also in a very overt way that you can bring this question out in the open into your life, and that will help strengthen your faith and help to bring congruence between what we believe or what we say we believe and how we actually live. So before we do that, I want us to look at these verses. You have your Bibles already open to Psalm 119, verses 89 through 96. And I want to start by giving our attention to verses 89 through 91. It is in these first three verses of this passage that we see that the psalmist is praising God for who he is, for what he does, for his word. Look again with me. He says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal, everlasting. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues generation after generation. You established the earth. You are the creator, and it endures because of you. Your laws, your truth endures to this day. All the things of this earth ultimately serve you." He's giving testimony. He's speaking truth. He's giving praise to who God is, to the truth of who God is, to his eternal nature, to his purposes, and all that flows forth from him. He's giving praise to him, to God, the God of the universe. And so we have those first three verses. And then as you look into this next verses, 92 through 96, he then talks about how this shapes his life. Again, look with me. He said, if your law, if your truth, if your word had not been a part of my life, if I had not grounded myself, delighted myself in your word, he says, I wouldn't have made it. I wouldn't have persevered. Because life can be really hard. But your word sustained me through affliction. He says, I have not forgotten your precepts. They have preserved my life. Your word was there when things were good, and your word was there when I was hitting rock bottom. But it's because of you, God, because of who you are and what you've done, because you've given us your word to sustain us, that I have persevered. Then he says, save me. For I am yours. I'm looking to you, God. We talked about this last week, about what we do when we deal with hate in our life, right? We seek God's help. We put our hope in him. He says, I've sought out your precepts. He says, there are wicked people waiting to destroy me. There's people who want to cause harm in my life. But what's most true about my life and where I give my attention is to this, that I ponder your statutes, that your word is central in forming and shaping my life, even as I deal with those who seek to cause me harm. And then he says this, I look out at the world and I see that everything, even perfection, has a limit. But he says, your commands, your word is boundless. It never ends. What we find here in these verses is we find someone whose life is congruent. What they say they believe and how they live are being brought together. And so as much as important as it is this morning for us to look at the content of these verses, and there's good content there, right, that we just saw, I also want us to see the structure of this person's life. And this person's life begins with the realities and truths of who God is. Right? That he grounds his life, that the foundation of his life is in who God is, the truth of who God is, the truth of his word, and then that is shaping his life, right? He talks about not just that God's word was with me when everything was great and everybody liked me. He says, no, your word sustained me when I was at rock bottom, when I was going through affliction, when those who were seeking to cause me harm. He says, so my life is being lived from this reality of who you are, God. The truth of who you are and the truth of your word is what shapes my life. And I live from that truth. There is that congruence between the truth of God and how he's living. And it is in that structure of life, that structure of praise that we see in these verses that I want to draw forth in just a second this question that I believe can help us to live this congruence of faith, this congruence of life that we all struggle with in our own ways to live. But this is a kind of question from this word that can work in the background of our life and be brought forward in our life to help shape everything that we do, to shape our lives for his purposes. And this is the question that I want to give you today from God's word, looking at the structure of these verses. And this is the question that you can ask: what is true about God and his word? That's the starting point. The psalmist in these verses, he starts not with what I'm going through. He starts with the truth of who God is. Your word is eternal. You are faithful. Even when people are not faithful in my life, God, when they seek to cause me harm, God, you are faithful. He starts with the truth of who God is. And we can do this in our own life as well. That the starting point for our life can be this question: what is true about God and his word? That doesn't come naturally to us, right? I mean, think about that even as Christians. Right? This message is directed towards those who are already Christians. Like, we don't default to that, do we? Our starting point in life for so many of us is we default to the realities of the circumstances, the realities of other people's opinions of us, what other people are going to do. And not to, that's our natural response, and we all do that. But this is a very different starting point. As you go through life, and you're starting with this question: what is true about God and his word? Life looks very different when you start from that place. And not just starting there, but interpreting your world through this lens of what is true about God and his word. And again, think about, we're always, at any moment in a given day, we're interpreting what's happening around us, what people are saying to us, what's going on in the news, what's happening in our lives. We have this kind of filter by which we view the world and what's happening. That shapes how we view the world, how we view other people, how we do all these things. And for many of us, we're challenged by the fact that the way that we interpret the world, the lens through which we live in this world, is not necessarily the lens of faith. Right? We're shaped by so many other voices in our life, instead of what is true about God and his word. Pastor, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he wrote a book, and a number of books, but one of his most famous was Experiencing God, Henry Blackaby. And he talked about that just using as an example within a church setting. So this is a church setting where people are coming together, hopefully to seek God for his ways. And he talked about how challenging it is, even in the life of a church, to interpret and look at the world through the lens of faith, what is true about God and his word. And he used to say, two Christians. He used to say, the last thing your church needs is your unprayed over opinion. Now, what he's saying there is, again, most of us default to whatever we think, to our own thoughts and opinions and gifts and talents. Again, this is the sort of instinctually the way that we live. But again, what does it look like when we start our lives and as we interpret the realities of our life through this question? What is true about God and His Word? This means then that we need to be intentional about what is shaping our minds in our life, to be renewed by the renewing of our minds, to be renewed by the truths of things like your word is eternal, your stands firm in the heavens, your faithfulness continues through generations. The truth of God's word shaping our lives. So how we form and shape our minds and our thinking shapes so much of also how we're feeling, our instincts, our responses, our interpretations, all that profoundly shapes our lives. And you don't need me to tell you, I'm going to anyway, but you don't need me to tell you that we are bombarded, aren't we, by so many influences. I said in the previous service, which skews a little bit older, has more retirees, that one of my concerns for retirees is they got their TV on all the time. It's like the background noise of their lives. And for so many of my parents' generation and older, that we have the 24-hour news, and you can pick your channel, whatever flavor of channel you want. And even though it's on the background, right, it's forming and shaping thinking. It's forming and shaping affections and feelings. It's forming and shaping what's important in the world. It's forming and shaping how you think of what is true in the world. It's a powerful thing. And as I like to remind people, if the world ends, you'll know about it. You don't have to be on the news 24/7, right? You'll have enough heads up for that to happen. But that's a generational thing. But maybe for us who are not retired, are a younger generation, think about how powerfully we're shaped, not just by social media, but the influence of the algorithms, right? The algorithms that bring us information, that's tailored to us, that reinforce our biases, that tell us what's most we think is most important. Again, for we're profoundly shaped by those. Again, and we're shaped in those ways in ways that we're not even aware of. We just think this is what's true and this is what's real. It profoundly shapes our reality and our understanding of truth. So we have to be intentional and careful about what's shaping our mind, because you're not going to default towards faith. You're not going to default to the truth of God's word. You have to, as we say over and over again in Psalm 119, there has to be an intentional way that you bring forth into your life the Word of God into your life, to bring into the rhythms of your life the truth of God's Word, so that you begin to ground your life, your decisions, your habits, your feelings into the realities like this. Again, that God is immutable. He's unchanging. His character and purpose do not change. Think about what that means for reality and truth. That God is faithful, that God is eternal, that these are the realities of what is most true about our life, so that we begin to ask that question, so we begin to live a congruent life like we see here between what we say we believe and what we actually believe, because we're grounding our truth first and foremost in the realities of the truth of who God is and the truth of His Word. That those realities become preeminent in shaping our life. And not only is this good as a kind of background formation to our life, But you can bring this question into your own life as well. So I want you to think about that this week. Maybe you're struggling at work. You're struggling with coworkers. You're struggling in enjoying your work. What is most true about God and His Word? Maybe there's relational conflict in your life and you're struggling in some relationship. What is most true about God and His Word? Maybe you're a teenager or a young adult, and what's most important to you right now is your social status and what other people think about you. But let me ask you, what is most true about God and His Word? Maybe you're filled with anxiety and worry. Again, just in the general sense, that's kind of your predisposition. What is most true about God and His Word? Maybe you're struggling with decisions. Maybe those are moral decisions in your life, and you're beginning to make decisions that are going to shape your life profoundly in ways that maybe you're just kind of going through the motions, but you need to be made aware of that. So you ask the question, what is most true about God and His Word? So that's a very different starting place, isn't it? It's a very different way to interpret the world. It's a very different way to interpret your life. And it leads to a very different kind of life. A life like we find in today's Word. A life that begins with the realities of who God is. The truth of who God is. And then the life lived flows forth from the truth of who God is, the truth of His Word. So I challenge you this week, and I encourage you this week, like the psalmist, start with what's most true about God and ask that question before anything else. What is most true about God and His Word? And live from that truth. Will you pray with me? God, for Your Word, we are eternally grateful. For not having to be reliant upon the opinions of others or the circumstances of our life, or the joys and the struggles, all these things that make up our lives today, Lord. Your Word stands eternal, even in the intricacies and difficulties of our own lives. And so, Lord, I pray today that we will live from the truth of who You are. That we will live from the truth of Your eternal Word. God, I pray today for somebody here who's not a Christian, who's overheard this message towards Christians, that You would stir in their hearts and lives, that You would disrupt them, that You would bring conviction to their life to help them see that they need You, Christ. And that there is no other name under heaven and earth except You, Christ, by which a man or woman may be saved but You. And bring them to that place, enabled by Your Spirit, I pray, where they're able to respond to the good news, Christ Jesus, that You gave Your life on the cross for them, so that through Your blood shed, there might be forgiveness and restoration with You, Father God. God, we do confess that we struggle to live our lives in congruence, in alignment with Your Word. I pray today, Lord, that Your Word will go forth into each of our lives. And by Your power, by your enablement, by your encouragement, we will live lives that bring glory and honor to your name. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.